I think we have made very serious efforts of increasing our defense potential in the last 16-17 months. And I think if Chinese start to repeat what they did in October-November of 62, we will be able to give a better account of ourselves this time.
Will you try to throw China off your soil?
As a matter of fact, we are pledged to that thing. We are given that pledge to our parliament and the people of India. When do we do that and how do we do that depends upon our preparedness.
You touched upon this in your address, but as a result of the Chinese attack, is India still committed to its policy of neutralism and non-alignment?
I think we shall continue to remain non-aligned because our policy of non-alignment doesn't come in the way of fighting Chinese. As I explained in my speech, that was one of the intentions of China to throw us off our policy of non-alignment, to embrace perhaps Soviet Russia, because they want us to align to them. And we'll have to see the whole question from that point of view.
Is the problem of containing Chinese expansion along India's borders one requiring expansion of domestic defense production, or does the solution lie in the use of sophisticated weaponry which the Allies could provide you?
Well, the answer is very clear as far as I'm concerned. What we really want is very efficient and capable army to fight in that particular type of terrain in the northern borders. And you don't depend upon the supplies from other countries in difficult times for the hardware of this type of fight. And I think, therefore, it is quite necessary, and it is a fact that has been accepted by all experts concerned, that a reasonable base for defense production should be established in the country itself. Wherever it is a question of acquiring any sophisticated weapons or sophisticated aeroplanes, etc., certainly we are trying to treat with the country's concern. As a matter of fact, I am trying to argue with your government even today to get some better high-performance aeroplanes if I can get them.
When you became defense minister, you were represented as having said India could not count upon the Russians to restrain the Chinese communists from aggression, that no communist country ever gives up violence nor abjures the use of force, and communist blood is thicker than coexistence water. In view of this, why is India looking for expanded economic and military aid from Russia, including a factory in India for MIG production?
I think it would be even looking from the point of view of the democracy, it is really speaking good that we have some help from the Soviet Russia. And even from the point of view of the world forces today, I think it is good that a country like India helps to keep good relations with Soviet Russia, because personally I feel the guarantee of peace in the world today depends upon good relations between your country and Soviet Russia as well. I think this factor has been practically accepted by all those who consider the peace of the world a more important problem.
In light of India's acceptance of American assistance in the border war with the communists, why does India refuse to allow the U.S. Indian Ocean Carrier Force to visit Indian ports?
Well, factually, there was no occasion to refuse or accept. Secondly, when we say that we need military assistance, we never say that we would ask your army or navy to come to our aid. But really speaking, we want that we should fight our own war. And unless people of India feel that it is their own war, they won't succeed in fighting that war. But really speaking, we want is aid which will help them to increase their defense capacities.
In view of your country's past indifference, what would you advise Americans to do now in the crisis in Laos and Vietnam? Do you feel the deteriorating situation in that area endangers India?
Well, certainly we will be sympathetic for any efforts being made to contain Chinese in that part of the world. But as far as India is concerned, India is not in a position to do anything very better because they are trying to contain Chinese on their own fronts. What to do in Vietnam and other parts of the country is rather a difficult question for me to answer. I know it's rather a very complicated issue. According to me, it is difficult to find a military solution for a problem like this. Some sort of a political solution will have to be found.
Do you have any particular political solution in mind?
None particularly at the present moment.
What do you propose, or what proposal would you find acceptable for the defense of India that will take into account both the Indian need to resist Red China and the American need to pacify or stand between Indian-Pakistani relations?
As far as the Indian-Pakistan relationship is concerned, it's a very important question for us too. We always consider this aspect as important questions and we always continue to make efforts for that. Unfortunately, instead of improving the relations, Pakistan has succeeded in worsening them. Particularly, as I mentioned in my own speech, their growing association with the Chinese has further complicated the issue. But certainly, we will always be glad to make further efforts of improving our relationship with Pakistan. I think nobody is more worried about it or more careful about it than the Indians themselves.
There are several questions along these lines. The foreign minister of Pakistan told this forum last month that you had said India would be Pakistan's graveyard. Would you be morally justified in using American weapons to fulfill this prediction?
I think I was possibly quoted out of context. I can tell you that there was some sort of a incident that was happening regarding a land which was called graveyard on the international frontier of India and Pakistan. So I had just said, why is it that Pakistani armies are trying to find graveyard on the Indian soil? Nothing more than that. It really speaking, it has any political significance. It was just a reference to a particular area that was in dispute and they were trying to make range from that. I hope I made my point clear to the questioner. I never had any intentions, we shall never have any intentions of making any military use of any armed forces against Pakistan, never.
What proportion of the Indian forces are disposed on the Pakistan borders?
I should say none, except the forces which are allowed under the ceasefire agreement in the Valley of Kashmir, I have no hesitation in saying that we have completely withdrawn forces from the Pakistani border.
If requested by CITO, would India send troops, even a token force, to Vietnam?
As you know, we are busy on all the frontier. It will be militarily a mistake to do that.
More or less the same subject. Can you foresee any set of circumstances under which India would find it advantageous to join CITO?
No. Answer is very clear.
What specific items of military assistance is India seeking from the United States? At what cost? And what has the Defense Department reaction been?
I think I can answer the first part of it. The second part would possibly have to ask my colleagues who are present here on my right and left. I can mention generally, broadly, that our intention to modernize our army and necessity of establishing a production base in our country has given some sort of priority for items of manufacturing units, particularly for artillery, ammunition, etc. Then again, for modernization of our existing ordnance factories, it has a priority. Secondly, for improving our communications in that difficult mountain terrain, we are also asking for a better type of equipment, modern equipment. And also, we have projected our demand, as I mentioned a few minutes before, for a better type of aircraft. Also, some army equipment also is on the list. This is all that generally I can mention about the type of thing that we have projected. Our discussions have been very useful, I can tell you, and I have no doubt that our efforts will be crowned with success.
What are your force goals at the end of the 5-year defense plan, ground, sea, and air?
Well, as far as the ground forces are concerned and the air force is concerned, I can generally mention that we have a general agreement about the assessment of the threat from the Chinese side, and we propose to have an army of less than 1 million men. I can mention the exact figure about, as we call it, 825,000 people, and air force of the size of 45 squadrons. That is the aim. As far as sea is concerned, we see a little less threat from the sea, and therefore the Navy is on the low priority.
You stated with respect to Vietnam and Laos that it is difficult to envisage a military solution, that a political solution will have to be found. Is the same true of the Chinese-India frontier dispute?
Well, if a political solution is possible in case of China by negotiations, we have not ruled it out. As I said, I have made it clear that we have accepted the Colombo proposals, and on the basis of Colombo proposals, if China wants to sit at the negotiating table, we have not said no. We are willing to do that.
Can you tell us anything about the status of the delivery schedule of Russian MIG aircraft to the Indian Air Force?
Well, as a matter of fact, the agreement to manufacture the MIG aircraft in India
is proceeding according to schedule, if I may say so. Certain project reports have been received and they are being studied. And I'm sure, as we proceed further, we'll make certainly some good progress about it.
If the Red Chinese again attack India, would you accept help from Chiang Kai-shek?
I don't think Chiang Kai-shek would be in a position to give us help.
Having in mind India's population explosion, would your government consider requesting family planning as a part of U.S. aid?
The family planning is one of the important items of our planning. And if any assistance is needed, we can certainly ask for it. And if it is given, it will be certainly appreciated.
There is much talk about the comparative amounts of aid given India by the United States and the USSR. How aware is the Indian populace of these amounts of aid, and does this make any difference? There is much talk about the comparative amounts of aid given to India by the United States and Russia. Is the Indian population aware of the amounts of aid? And what difference does this make, the awareness of the population?
I think I should make one point very clear, that there is no aid from Soviet Russia, the type of aid that we receive from United States. What they do is to give us some sort of a credit facilities, and Indian populace is quite aware of it. As I said, when I said that that we are grateful for this, I didn't speak on my personal behalf, I spoke on behalf of people of India. They are very much aware of the aid that we gave, and they are very grateful about it.
One more question about planes. Why are you asking particularly for F-104 jet fighters?
Not because it is more sophisticated airplane, but because our requirements of air defense in that particular region requires airplane of that quality. I think last year when we had air exercises held in India, I was told that at technical level it was advised that an aeroplane of that capacity is a greatest requirement. And we find, looking in terms of requirements, that F-104G answers our question. It is from that point of view that we want it. Okay.
Before asking the last question, I would like to present you with Sherdlew, an affectionate chronicle of the Press Club's first 50 years, and our certificate of appreciation for your meritorious service to newsmen everywhere. And the last question, when you were chief administrator of Bombay, prohibition was in effect. Now that it has been partially removed, how do you feel about it? Politically, I mean.
I feel very happy about it, because some realistically new steps are being taken. I'm very glad about it. Possibly if I were there today, possibly I would have done the same thing. But I had some other priorities before me to attend to other works.